wisdom that will set you free. Welcome to Mystic FM. Join us on a voyage of spiritual discovery. Welcome everyone. My name's Julian Rosser and this is Mystic FM, brought to you by the Aetherius Society's New Zealand branch in Auckland. Today we discuss New Zealand's holy mountain, the majestic Mount Wakefield, which lies in the foothills of Aoraki Mount Cook. Mystic FM is produced by the New Zealand branch of the Aetherius Society, a worldwide spiritual organization with centers in Europe, North America, Africa, and Australasia. We were founded in 1955 by a Western master of yoga, Dr. George King, who passed on in 1997. The Aetherius Society are the custodians of a vast amount of spiritual teachings given by beings from this world and beyond, which were received through the yogic mediumship of Dr. King. We are a practical organization that holds regular services to send out spiritual power through prayer and mantra to help our suffering world. The Society's motto is service is the jewel in the rock of attainment. One of 19 such mountains around the world, Mount Wakefield is a spiritual power battery that anyone, regardless of their religious beliefs, can use to send out spiritual power to the world. Speaking from my own experience, pilgrimages to this mountain have been a tremendously uplifting experience, and I hope to visit this holy mountain many times in the future. To tell us more about Mount Wakefield and why it is so special, I'd now like to introduce Frank McManus.
Hello. As mentioned by Julian, today's program is about New Zealand's mystic Mount Wakefield. Now, mountains have always featured in mankind's history as places of significance, both in religious traditions, indigenous cultures, and all people who climb mountains have been drawn to them by sometimes magical attraction. In New Zealand, many mountains have been held sacred by the Maoris. These include Aoraki, formerly known as Mount Cook, Mount Tongariro, and Ruapehu. Indeed, a Maori proverb states, "If I should bow my head, let it be to a high mountain." Now, one of the greatest crises which exist on earth today is not food or oil, but spiritual energy, its availability, and its use. You may rightly ask the question, how is this possible? Is not the whole of creation a vast energy field, and the divine creator an ever-present and abundant source of upliftment to all? In a perfect world, this would be absolutely true. But our history is far from perfect, as you will agree. And the restrictions from the divine law of action and reaction, sometimes called karma, have alas clouded this utopian vision for us all. To explain the need for holy mountains of power on this earth, I would like to read the introduction to an amazing book published by the Aetherius Society entitled The Holy Mountains of the World, Charged in Operation Starlight. The planet Earth is not our original home. She, an ancient goddess of immense compassion, wisdom, and cosmic experience, gave us refuge upon her surface after we had destroyed her brother, the planet Maldek, through nuclear war. All the remains of Maldek today are thousands of pieces of lifeless rock in orbit between Mars and Jupiter, the asteroid belt. Upon our arrival, the divine law required that an ionospheric barrier be erected around Earth. This diminished our access to the holy energies flowing from the sun and other sacred cosmic energies. This was not a punishment, but a protection for the grossly involved mental and physical structures of those who had destroyed the body of a planetary logos. One immediate effect of this barrier was that it became much more difficult for terrestrial man to contact those subtle forces so necessary for his inspiration and spiritual evolution. The Akashic record shows clearly that we have learned little from our cosmic crime. Before we could destroy Earth through another nuclear chain reaction, she was commanded to save herself. The planet turned on her axis and mankind was destroyed instead in the massive floods that swept over Lemuria. We returned, and in our ignorance and evil, again threatened her life through rampant thermonuclear explosion. Again, she turned upon her axis as ordered by the karmic lords, and mankind was cleansed from her surface in the floods which covered Atlantis. Following each cleansing, the ionospheric barrier around Earth was further intensified, as required by divine law. As humanity began to reincarnate upon Earth for the third time, it had become extremely difficult for humans to contact the divine energies. Some made the sublime effort and rose to the higher realms. The masses could not, or would not. And our whole history began to repeat itself for the fourth time. By the year 1945, in the present era, mankind had waged two world wars. The second had resulted in the deaths of more than 50 million people. On July the 16th of that year, the unthinkable reappeared in a gigantic mushroom cloud near Almogorado, New Mexico. August the 6th and August the 9th saw atomic bombs dropped, not in test, but again in war, by man against his fellow man. Within 7 brief years, the testing of nuclear weapons had escalated until, in 1952, the even more terrible hydrogen bomb became a reality. A race for nuclear supremacy had begun among the major materialistic powers on Earth. Billions lived in daily terror of what appeared to be the inevitable, a third world war of almost certain nuclear devastation of the whole human race. But worse than this, far worse, the Great One saw once more a grave threat to the very life of Earth herself. In 1954, the cosmic intelligences approached George King, a Western master of yoga living in London, England, and after he had undergone a period of intense preparation, they appointed him primary terrestrial mental channel for interplanetary parliament. Almost immediately, the cosmic masters of our solar system began giving transmissions of profound cosmic wisdom through their chosen channel while he was in a positive yogic, self-induced, somatic trance. These transmissions all pertain to the present dangers facing mankind and the Earth, and urge the people of Earth to turn to selfless spiritual service as the only means to prevent the terrible calamity which was facing them. In addition to these inspiring messages of cosmic wisdom, the Great Ones urge the people of Earth to offer themselves as channels for spiritual energies, which they would radiate through all cooperators from one of their own huge spacecraft, which they called Satellite Number 3, outward to the world as a whole. Then the Great Ones went a step further, a truly giant step, as would later be seen, in providing mankind with 19 gigantic sources of spiritual energy, which could be contacted by active spiritual workers. These energies could be radiated through prayer to the world to uplift, heal, and inspire mankind. The Cosmic Master directed George King to a series of mountains throughout the globe, which he climbed, often under extreme difficulty, to act as a terrestrial link through whom the Cosmic Masters charged these mountains as virtual cosmic batteries. He was quickly followed by droves of active spiritual workers who climbed almost in his footsteps to contact these energies, to send them outwards to the world. In this way, through the world mission known as Operation Starlight, the holy mountains of the world and the selfless spiritual workers who have prayed from their heights have helped to offset the effects of the ionospheric barrier around the planet. Once again, highly potent spiritual energies are readily and easily contactable by ordinary people. So there we have a brief yet succinct explanation of our history and why there is a spiritual energy crisis on Earth today. Throughout our turbulent past, we have never been left alone, and divine intervention has once again intervened on this Earth to provide us with the greatest thing we need to put our world right and in the process evolve ourselves. Holy mountains, natural temples of nature, linked to a divine source which can be climbed and the energy tapped and released to spiritualize our world. What a magnificent thing. Mount Wakefield was charged on Christmas Eve in 1960 through the unique mediumship yogic channel Dr. George King, making it forever holy, a place of tremendous spiritual power. Let us listen then to Dr. King's recounting of this day and its significance for New Zealand and the world. Dr. George King. After a few minutes' rest, I went on again to the spot which was to be charged. As I gained the spot on the ridge, I could see the great Tasman Glacier stretching across the floor of the valley like a giant finger of ice, and all around were jagged peaks pushing their sharp, rocky spires upwards. Far down below, the Hermitage looked like a wooden toy. I had not long to enjoy the scenery, however, because the time was now 4 p.m., and it had taken us 6.5 hours of really hard climbing to reach the spot. In those southern latitudes, the days are not very long, as one has to consider this. I stood for a moment in silent prayer, then assumed a sitting position on those large rocks. The world with its cares, worries, and even happiness was forgotten, and I felt my consciousness soar, so that it became all-inclusive by its expansion. It was Christmas Eve, and although not really commemorative of his birth, nevertheless a time when people turned their thoughts towards Jesus, the Master of Love. It came gently at first, did that power, as though from afar. Then it became stronger, more definite, vibrant. It flowed through me into the cold rock of Wakefield in a stream of multi-hued fire, projected from the heart of the Master Jesus himself. Then he spoke, not in harsh sounds as we know them, but with an even greater surety. O my son, you have done well. The land can now rejoice for this place is consecrated by my blessing. I say now that the power herein can be sent into the hearts of all men. As fire cannot exist without fuel, neither can the flame of love within the heart of man live without expression. True expression is service, and service is donation through unselfish effort. Bid the pilgrims to come here and send this, my power, unto mankind through prayer, so that he may become wise enough to allow his highest attribute, that of love's expression, to manifest as unselfish service. Now, since that time, dozens of pilgrimages have been made to this natural temple by hundreds of people. All have attested to the tremendous power they felt flowing through them, some describing it as being like electricity. Amazing healings have taken place, and people's lives have been changed. Many have had sightings of UFOs, the spirits of nature, and some, the Master Jesus himself. All have been touched by the tremendous spiritual power resident in this holy shrine, a power, we are told, which can never be dissipated. For the more people who climb Mount Wakefield and all the holy mountains of the world, the more powerful this mountain becomes and all others. Dr. King had some inspiring thoughts on the purpose of the holy mountains, and we would like to play now a short extract of his address.
A few years ago, there was one or two holy mountains in this world, and just one or two. Places like Shasta and Mount Sinai and various places like this. But the energy in these mountains was not obtainable by ordinary men. As you know, it fell to my lot to make available to the earth, and I'm not talking about to adepts, I'm talking about to every man, woman, and child, it fell to my lot to make an energy available to them, the like of which had never been available before in the history of this earth, to people upon that level. Now, of course, it's one thing for an adept to bring down energy because he knows the powers necessary to invoke this. He knows the ritual because of his previous training and because of his previous experience in previous lives. He's able to do this, and he can invoke an energy wherever he may be. If he may be on what might be termed as a holy or charged spot, he can invoke this energy easier than he can in the middle of a city, which is not holy. But to make available an energy to a people with a lesser degree of initiation and far less experience than that of the adept was not a very simple task. And as you know by now, it took 3 years and 1 month to perform. And during that time, 19 mountains were charged, 18 of which were charged through myself by higher intelligences, so that every man, woman, and child going to these holy places, whether they'd ever heard of the Aetherius Society or not made no difference at all, if they said prayer with pure, unselfish motives, a great power would run through them, out to the world, out to their suffering brothers, out even to their suffering relatives. I think most of you here have actually been on a holy mountain, you've actually prayed, you've actually physically and mentally felt this energy run through you. Most of the people who will hear this tape in other parts of the world have done exactly the same. Some of you have brought about what may be considered by the ignorant man to be miraculous healings through the use of this power. You have sent this power from different holy mountains throughout the world to your suffering relatives, as well as to mankind as a whole, and you have not been unduly surprised when those relatives were better, were fit in mind and body. This has happened, maybe not too often, but it has happened. We have very well authenticated reports of this. These healings have lasted. Some of the first healings done from a holy mountain were done from Holston down before Operation Starlight was even finished. That was a few years ago, as you know, and the people remain healed today who were healed then. Had it not been for these holy mountains, more catastrophes would have befallen this particular earth than have already been felt. The power from these holy mountains can, as you know, never be used up, for the more you use this power, the greater the power becomes.
Thanks, Frank, and thank you to our audience for listening. If you'd like to find out more, you can do so on our website, tas.co.nz, that's tas.co.nz. There you'll find more info on this mountain, as well as a list of the other 18 holy mountains around the world that were charged during Operation Starlight. Our online shop also has the book Frank mentioned, The Holy Mountains of the World, along with many others. Well, that brings this podcast to a close. I'm Julian Rosser. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. There are plenty more on our website, tas.co.nz, and we look forward to sharing another topic with you next time. Thank you for listening to Mystic FM, brought to you by the Aetherius Society. Tune in next time for more cosmic spirituality, because it is wisdom that sets you free.